following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Turn in your Bible, please, to Psalm 146. I did give this a title. I've given it three titles since I began looking at Psalm 146. And I made a decision a couple of days ago that when we finish up with this last bunch of Psalms, at the end of the book of Psalms, strange place to begin at the end, we're going to go back and hit a couple of the other books within the book of Psalms, and I'll tell you more about that. But tonight I gave this song, and it's really, I mean, how audacious is that to give somebody else's song a title? And that's a little bit bold, but what I really see in here, at least what I want to focus on tonight, is this issue of habits and addictions. I'm calling this the praise, the healthy addiction. How many of you have some addictions? Let's use the nice word. How many of you have habits? Anybody have habits? How many of you have senseless habits? You want to share what they are? I don't know if I want to know what your senseless habits are. But we all have, you know, habits. It's like, why do I do that? I have this thing, and it was a great brother who's a member of the fellowship here told me about this years ago. It's the hardest thing in the world for me to break. Sometimes between saying something and opening up my Bible, turning to another passage, he would hear me go, and I don't know why I do that, but now I hear it on the radio and it sounds hideous. It's just one of those senseless habits, and we all have our ums and uhs when we speak we'd love to get over. How many of you have wasteful, expensive habits? All of us. Unhealthy habits? We could go down the list on those, couldn't we? Smoking, sugar, fighting, arguing with your spouse, your loved ones, irritating habits. Of course, other people have irritating habits. Yours makes sense, but dangerous habits like texting. Saw a lady almost got hit today, stepping out from between cars, just absorbed in the texting and just about got nailed. But I hit the brake. I didn't, no, it wasn't me. Some of you have healthy and frugal habits and just wise habits, safe habits. I know fathers that teach their daughters, their children, their wives, when you're walking down the street, put your keys in your hand with them out so you look like, who's the guy, Hugh Jackman, the character that he plays? I can't remember the name of the movie, but so there's a little danger in your hands. Prepare yourself. And there's good habits, there's bad habits, but our lives are habits in one sense. Everybody has a habit. I mean, you get up in the morning at a certain time and you probably do that habitually, day after day after day. I started as a night person. I'm trying to become a morning person, but that habit has a death grip on me. We all have eating habits, things that we lean to that maybe we should or shouldn't to, relational habits, spiritual habits. All of us have them. Most healthy people have healthy habits, and it's the same spiritually. Spiritually healthy people have good, healthy spiritual habits. I want to talk about one of those tonight. The word habit, if you care, the word habit in the Hebrew, chabit, not really isn't. I have no idea what the Hebrew word for habit is, but doesn't that sound Hebrew to you? Chabit? It's not. But the word, I should have let that ride. You'd gone out and sounded dumb to somebody, but habit is a, here's what you'll find if you look it up, synonyms, definitions. A habit is a custom, a routine, a discipline, a bent, a propensity, a tendency, an addiction, a fixation. One explanation was this: a habit is something we do regularly, often without thinking about it or even intending to do it. I love this definition of a habit. It's a quirk. And many of our habits are just quirks and tics, just things that happened to us. But I love the idea of this word habit when you think about the other ways that it's used, when you slam it together with other prefixes like cohabit. It means what? To live together, to inhabit. Well, that's the house you live in. You inhabit your house, your habitation. That's the dwelling place that you live. It's a place where you settle down. So I want to talk tonight from Psalm 146 for a little bit about the healthiest habits. One of the healthiest habits you can have and that is the habit of praise. Follow along with me in Psalm 146. It says this, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth, and in that very day his plans perish. Happy is the man who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. Read verse 10 with me. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Go back to verse 1. Read verse 1 and 2 out loud and strong with me, please. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Father, thank you that your book, your word, is so filled with lyric and music. It's one of those wonderful abilities, gifts that you gave us, the desire to sing, even just to hum, to make melody in our hearts, and to say what needs to be said to you, Lord. And so tonight, as we look at this song from an anonymous writer, Lord, I pray that it would instill in us this desire to make this our practice, our habit, our addiction, to be people of continual praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we talked about this a little bit, tiny bit of review. This last section, the last five books of the book of Psalms was introduced by the master psalmist, David. As far as we know for sure, 73 songs that he wrote in Scripture, more than any other writer that we know of for sure. And in his introductory song, the way this is laid out in Psalm 145, which a lot of writers believe was purposely placed there to introduce the last five songs of the book of Psalms. In that song, listen to what he said. I'm not going to read it all again. He said, I'll extol you. Another way of saying, I'm going to brag on you, God. I'll praise you and boast on you. Every day I'll praise you. And then he told us why. Here's the bullet list I got out of that. Because God is worthy, because God is so full of mercy. I love this about God. He is so slow to anger. He's so full of compassion. Because of God's open hand, I was driving in tonight, and David Jeremiah was on the radio. How many of you listen to David Jeremiah? What a voice. I just wish I had a talking voice like David Jeremiah. And as he was getting close to the end of his program, he said, I've read the Psalms, I don't know how many times, but this verse, I'd never seen it. And it was the verse about the open hand of God that we looked at last week, that God approaches us with an open hand. And David said, because of his nearness and his righteousness and his faithfulness and his responsiveness. But these Psalms are purposely connected to what David said by whoever compiled them the way that we have them. And they're a purposeful conclusion to this whole collection of the 150 best songs ever written. Certainly the most popular songs ever written. When you think about how many copies of them exist in the world today, to me anyway, countless different languages. And they highlight this one point that the book of Psalms makes. There's no question in my mind that the book of Psalms basically says this, sing to the Lord. Sing about the Lord, but sing, sing, sing. I mean, no wonder David was chosen to introduce this crescendo of collection of psalms. David, you heard Shannon's song earlier. That was her biographical song about God's faithfulness in their life and a marriage that was rescued by God, by his grace. And that very, very personal song, Shannon's always, in her songs, sort of written her testimony, chronicled her life in the songs that she's written. Beautiful, beautiful songs. I remember walking that girl down the aisle. How many dads here have with daughters that you've taken that walk? Is that the most excruciating walk in the world? I'd rather hike up any mountain than take that walk, and I got to do it one more time with that baby of mine that's not married yet. But David put his whole life to song. It's like he was an open book. He talks about even before the womb, and he talks about being born by, you know, even in sin. He said, "Let me tell you how I started. I was a wreck to begin with." And we all were. He talks about when he was a boy, and he talks about victories and his defeats. We know about them because David wrote about them. His failures of the worst kind. He wrote blues, and he wrote love songs, and he wrote songs of adoration to God. And maybe he wrote some of these last songs. We don't know. Maybe he even purposely took his name off, said, I don't need the royalties from this one. Well, there weren't any royalties back then, but I don't need the credit. And he just sort of let it float out there. And it just was beautiful introduction, though, in Psalm 145 to move us into this one that begins to tell us again and again, praise God. The book of Psalms reminds us to sing. Here's the categories. This is a short list. There's more. Book of Psalms sings about our history and about our discoveries of the goodness of God. It sings about the faithfulness of God. It cranks up the volume and it says, sing now to your neighbors. Don't keep this to yourself. The book of Psalms says you've got to go public with your praise. You've got to let somebody else know what you see to be praiseworthy about God. It says, sing about the beauty of creation, the beauty of redemption. Ooh, I got to say this. I'd never heard it put that way before tonight when Shannon, I think when she was praying, and she was thanking God for redemption. And she said, God, thank you that you didn't just let us die. I never thought about it that way. That because God is love, he wouldn't just let us die. No, we're too precious to him. He came and he rescued us. So these beautiful songs about redemption and forgiveness and then singing of the beauty even. In Psalm 119, the beauty of the book itself, the beauty of Scripture. The book of Psalms tells us to sing, 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 and it's broken into these five volumes, book 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And in book 5, where we're going to be spending some time the first half of this year, there are all these special books within the last book, the book of Psalms. One of them is the typical Hallel Psalms, Psalm 113 to 118, sort of the great Hallel Psalms together, that were used for the high festivals, the holy days of the Jews, when they would sort of save those songs, at least publicly, to be sung together. And the songs 120 through 134, I'm going to give that group of songs a name too. They're called the Songs of Ascent. When we study them, here's the title. I've already chosen it. Maybe I'll even write a book that two people will read. Me and Joy will read it. But I'm going to call the Songs of Ascent, Take a Hike. Take a hike with God. Go somewhere with him. Somewhere on purpose with him. We'll look at those. But then these last five, they're called, in some writers, they call it the Daily Hallel. In the Talmud, one writer, his name was, or one rabbi, his name was Rabbi Yosei. Here's what he said. He said, may my portion be with those who complete the Hallel every day. To some rabbis, that was shocking to hear. Because if he was talking about 113 to 118, no, that's too good for every day. That's special music for special times. It's sort of like Paco Bell's Canon. That's a wedding song. Dun, dun. Oh, I'm not going to try it, but it's a wedding song. Save it for those beautiful moments. And this one writer said he could not have been speaking about the great Hallel. He had to be talking about this, what we will call the daily Hallel. The 146 through 150. Yes, every day. If you're serious about your love with God, your love affair with God, go to those Psalms and praise him with these focuses every single day. That's where we find ourselves, with Psalm 146. And that's how the writer starts. Praise the Lord, he says to you. That's pretty audacious, isn't it? Looks you in the face and he says, praise God. Maybe a little more graciously than that. Praise God. I don't know, however you want to say, praise the Lord, he says. But there's a mandate there. But I love the way that this writer instantly turns to himself. He says, you too, buddy. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. You lift up your heart. You'll find that several times in Scripture where the writer says, oh, bless the Lord. We sang it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and everything that's in me. Bless his holy name. The writer, I'd love to know who this was. He starts by saying, everybody join me in this. The word praise there, hallel, here's what it means, to shine, or at least it's translated this way in different places. It means to shine or to boast or to rave or to rage. Excuse me. Some of you are going to love this one. It means to be clamorously foolish. How many of you are good at that? I'm going to change to this mic, okay, Jesse? Because this cough is here for a little bit. It means to get excited now. In your praise of God, rave and rage, that would have done it for me. But to be clamorously foolish, it doesn't mean go be stupid. But let people think that you're foolish. There are people tonight, trust me, that some of your friends that know you're here, they think, what a waste, what a foolish waste of your time to go hang out in an auditorium-style setting. Listen to some guy who may or may not know anything, be the judge of that, and really give your attention, your serious attention to the study of a book that's thousands of years old. That's foolish to many people. So even the lifting up of our voices to God, whether it's singularly or corporately, oh, I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous to some people. I'm going to continue to be ludicrous. Anybody else? I will continue to be clamorously foolish if that's what it means. And I will rave about him, and I will rage, not at him, but I will celebrate the goodness of God. I'll lift my voice, and I'll sing, and I'll shine. I think he's kind of saying, so rise and shine, the writer says. And then he says it to himself, I will rave about the Lord. I will celebrate him. And then he says this, look at verse 2. While I live, how long will that be? I don't know how long for you, but he's saying, this is the habit of my life. This is the addiction of my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. The New Living Translation says, as long as I live and with my dying breath, my last words will be that. It's a scary thought to me. I don't know if any of the rest of you have this scary thought. What will I say? What will come out of my mouth when, oh, thanks, brother. What will come out of my mouth? Hey, can you do me a favor? Can you open that for me? It's not that I'm not strong, but I know if I do it, I'm going to spill water all over the place. I like your beanie, by the way, too.
Oh, thank God.
Oh,
you can't have it, by the way.
I know. I figured. What's going to come out of my mouth when the guard is no longer there? When the inhibitions are gone? If I enter that time of life when my brain no longer guards what comes out of my mouth. What will come out of my mouth? Whew, that's scary to me. I remember, some of you will remember this. It was over in that back section several years ago. I saw a commotion on a Sunday morning. I didn't think anything of it. It happens around here a bit from time to time. But this brother came up afterwards and he said, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. I apologize. I said, for what? He said, you didn't hear that? I said, no. He said, well, my mom, and she was dealing with some Alzheimer's in later stages, and he said she said out loud to everybody in that area could hear, while I was speaking, she said, can't somebody shut this guy up? She said, and he sort of, a lot of people wanted to say that, you know, but she said it, and he quieted her down. He said, no, we got to get out of here, she said, But anyway, I texted my friend Brad DeHaan, who's on our board, and he's one of our drummers, too. He manages a convalescent hospital. And I asked him, I said, do you ever find that some of your guests in that hospital, do you ever hear them, you know, singing and you know, or worshiping and singing the, you know, hymns? He said, yeah, and he gave me names. Bessie A. He said, for the last years of her life, she just sat by the window, and she sang hymns all day long.
oh, I hope that's me. I hope that's what comes out of my mouth at that point. And he said, now there's a woman there by the name of Cynthia G. And he says she rolls up and down the hallways, and she quotes the Psalms, and she sings the scriptures, and she sings the hymns. And I want that to be such a part of me that that's the addiction of my soul, that when I lose control of what I say, I hope that's what you hear coming from me. I hope that's what fills the air around me. Well, he moves on quickly, and he gives us reason. We read it in verses 3 down to 10. It's a comparison. And he starts by saying, hey, don't trust the wrong person. He says, watch out for these princes and these people. Look at verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes. We would say governors, presidents, elected officials. Don't put your confidence, your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. Why? His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans, they perish. You really could see this as a warning against ultimate humanism. And by humanism, I'm not talking about maybe what you studied in school, but humanism is basically where I trust people. My hope for this world is humanity. And one day I believe that we will get it right. One day we'll fix this mess. How many of you are still holding that hope out? That one day we, humanity, will get it right. That we'll fix what's wrong with this world. We can't even get our sock drawers right. We can't, we have a hard enough time with the simplest of issues in our life fixing those things. This was in the paper today, in Orange County Register. We're getting ready for the inauguration of Barack Obama, the second inauguration. And this was the presidency laid out in terms from back in the Franklin D. Roosevelt days, who was elected 4 times. You remember that, don't you? Well, you're not old enough to remember it, but you heard about it. And died shortly into his 4th term. But I look down through this. I have been alive, and all of you who were born in 52 or later, or 52 or I guess earlier than that, you got more, but 52. I have been alive for a dozen presidents, 6 Democrats and 6 Republicans, 38 Supreme Court justices appointed by those presidents. Roosevelt had all Democrats appointed during his term. It was a completely Democratic appointed, blue side leaning Supreme Court during his days. Now, have we gotten it together? See, here's what the writer says. Don't trust people. They're not in office that long. Their terms expire. And you hook your hopes to humanity and you will be disappointed sooner or later and more likely constantly. And so he says, don't trust men. Don't trust people. Don't ultimately trust people with your soul. And here's why, he says, because they cannot save you. Look at verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man in whom there is no help. And you could write in the margin, circle the word help. It's the same word as salvation. In man, there is no salvation. No man can save your soul. They won't be around long enough. Their terms expire. And when they expire, their plans are gone. Their greatest plans diminish as soon as they are out of the picture, gone for good. But let's move to the best part. I love how he quickly says, here's why I'm trusting, not man, no prince. He's not saying don't trust one another. He's not saying don't build good, solid, healthy, trusting relationships. But this level of ultimate trust with your soul, don't trust man. And he says, let me tell you who to trust. We've read it. Look at it again. Verse 5. He said, happy is the man. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them. And he goes down this beautiful list and he says, this is why I'm trusting God. And this is why you should trust him too. You want the list? He made everything, you see. He says he's faithful, he's compassionate, he's capable, he's a deliverer, he's a refuge, he's a shelter. And I love that verse that says, for the orphans and for the widows, you're not alone, you are not alone. He defends you, he takes up your cause, and he says, because he reigns forever, his term never ever expires. He's just, he said. absolutely incorruptible. He can't be bought. He can't be bought. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. I read these things, and the Psalms are full of this. Have you ever noticed how repetitive the songs in the book of Psalms are in terms of their theme? They really are. Over and over and over again, these songwriters say God can be trusted. God is worthy of our praise. These songwriters say, He's your maker. He's your healer. He's your deliverer. He's your best friend. He's your father. He's your husband. He's there for you. He's a friend that's closer than a brother. Over and over, they say the same things to us and hopefully inspire us or instill in us this same response: to praise Him, to thank Him. It's really, to me, the Psalms are as simple as that. That's what they do for me. Last year, 2012, I think it was, it was 2011, I decided I would spend the whole year in terms of just my devotional reading in the book of Psalms. It was so fun. It was beautiful. I moved through them quickly, then I went back through them one day at a time. And I mean, one psalm at a time. Just one psalm for a day, and I would read it two or three times. And it made me want to take those same words and sing them up to my God, lift them up to my God. I even tried to rap them, but I'm just not a rapper. I'm not a spoken word artist. But I just wanted to say those things. One of my favorite songwriters right now is a guy by the name of Andrew Peterson. I mentioned him a Sunday or so ago. And Andrew Peterson has this ongoing psalms. Any of you remember Rich Mullins? Remember Rich Mullins? He had some long songs. It was like they did not end. They just kept going and going. But they were beautiful, almost like a symphony of it's this and it's this and it's that, and that's why I praise you. There's this 9-minute song that Andrew Peterson does, and it comes to this phrase about 4 or 5 times as he talks about sun rising and the goodness of God here and there, and just, you know, all through all the categories of life. And he says, don't you want to thank someone? Don't you want to thank someone? Doesn't someone deserve a statement of gratitude for the simplest or most profound gift of his mercy to us? So this writer, I'd love to know who wrote Psalm 146. Sounds so Davidic to me, like David. But it just makes me want to thank God. And so I want to close with this. And I'm going to ask in a second. Get ready, Carl. I'm going to ask you to come up here. And we're going to sit together and talk about these simple themes that come out of Scripture, the themes that we put to music. The song. And we write these songs over and over again, don't we? And they say the same thing. The song that we sang earlier tonight about 10,000 reasons for my heart to bless him. That same songwriter has written that song, as far as I know, of about 4 times. And each time it's a hit song saying the same thing in a fresh, beautiful way. Matt Redman. And we want to say these things to God over and over again. So can I get really personal, like almost with my finger lovingly pounding on your chest? And telling you, just do this. Just do this. Start with praise. Make this a healthy, wonderful addiction in your life. Work it into the fabric of your day. Forget the other addictions. You could probably lose a few of them, all right? Forget sugar. Start here. Just do this. Give God the praise that he deserves. And let me caution you, don't worry about being clever in the way that you say it. And by the way, I'm telling you, write your own songs. Say your own things to God. Take what you've heard here and you say, I love what he said. I want to say it my way. Say it your way to God. Drive around, walk around. It's better than texting. It's to lift your voice to God and bless him. Don't worry about being clever. Be consistent about it. No, and by the way, you will say the same thing over and over again. I tell my wife, Joy, every day, I love her. I tell it to her more than once a day, at least in the morning and in the evening. If it changes in the middle of the day, I'll tell her. But no, it doesn't. It never does. Stupid joke. Dumb joke that I shouldn't have said. But she never gets tired of hearing me tell her that I love her. And when she makes a great meal, which is every meal, I tell her, that was great, babe. That was good. That was good. More pepper. You know, she never gets tired of hearing that. Do you think God gets tired of hearing you say the same thing to him if it comes from your heart? Don't worry about being repetitious. Just be real about it. And let me encourage you to plagiarize. Plagiarize David. Plagiarize Asaph. Plagiarize Korah, the people who wrote these songs. Use their words, all right? They're already at home. They've received their reward. Don't worry about it. I heard of a lawsuit. I don't know, Carl, if you heard about this one too. And the reason I keep pointing to Carl, all of you have sung his songs. Maybe you don't know, but you've all sung his songs. And we've sung them here. But there was a lawsuit probably about 15 years ago or so. And it was from somebody in New Zealand who was trying to sue one of the guys in The Cry for a song that they had written that sounded similar to a song that had been written by this guy down in New Zealand, and because the lyrics were similar. Well, guess who wrote the lyrics? David wrote the lyrics. But the guy in New Zealand wanted to sue the guy from Canada for plagiarizing him. It's in the Bible. They wrote it. And so proudly plagiarize, but make it personal. This morning we were in, or this afternoon we were in our staff devotions, and we were reading through Joshua, and we came to that place where they put up the memorial stones, and there's a really awesome story in there about it. But at one point the writer says, "Now when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Here's what you tell them." But I love the way it reads in chapter 4, and I think it's verse either 3, 5, or 7, somewhere in there. It says, when your children say, what do these stones mean to you? Tell them what they mean to you. And all those people he's speaking to live, they would have walked across the Jordan on dry land, the river that had parted. And he says, you tell them what it means to you. So I want to encourage you to make praise. Like the writer said, do this every day. He said, I'm going to do it every day with all of my breath. Every day I'm going to say new things to God, and maybe old things to God, in new ways, in fresh ways. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.